for the sheep. And let me tell you something, the true doorkeeper will lay his life down for the sheep too. When you find a true doorkeeper and he's afraid to die for the sheep, that's a mess. You got a hireling on your hand. You want somebody that's going to lay down their life for the sheep. Now let's get into this, and I think you will really appreciate this message. They, the false teachers in Jesus' day, did not want Israel to have true knowledge of the kingdom of God. Just go back up, John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. I want you to read that, then you'll understand. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, for those who do not see, so that they may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees that were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we not blind too? Are we?" In other words, they were saying, "So we don't see?" Look what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." See what I'm talking about? Jesus constantly brought accusations against Pharisees. And the Pharisee was constantly trying to redevelop this new idea of the Messiah. The Messiah cannot come against what we teach in religion because we got the flocks and we got the hordes of people following us on this end. And Jesus came on this end and said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm the good shepherd." Let's look at this closer. Today we require a clear and definitive explanation of who Jesus is. We need to know what his objective is and the conclusion if we are to discover who he is. And that's what these verses are going to have us do as we go through this. Let's come down to point one. If you want to build an outline here, point number one, discovering the real Jesus by a clear definition of access to God. We discover who the real Jesus is by having a clear definition of how we can have access to God. You're not getting access to God just because you feel like you're saved. You're not giving access to God because you give a lot of money. No, it's not like that. Verses 1 through 3, Jesus makes it perfectly clear that there is only one way to receive biblical justification. Look what he says in verse 1a. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep." Now let's look at this. In the Greek language, this assists us in a full understanding of this verse. Most assuredly, Jesus is saying, "I am the way," and not the Pharisees who were deceiving the people. Jesus was saying definitively, "I'm the way." This is what Jesus is speaking to the church today. "I am your Savior. Pastor John's not your Savior. Your church ministry is not your Savior. All the books that you have in your library is not your Savior. I'm your Savior. Your bank accounts don't save you. Your friendships with religious people don't save you. I am your Savior." Did you know that all of us are like boats on a river floating independently? And when that boat gets caught up into the rapids of life, we need the Christ of the Bible to save us. You don't need me to save you. That's why I tell people, don't call me when you get in a jam. You better call on Christ, because I'm calling on him for myself. Jesus says, "I am that Savior." Remember Jesus in chapter 9, he accused those religious leaders of being blind in verse 39. What Jesus is saying in a most emphatic way that his character in this verse establishes in such a way that which we can infer him as Lord of our lives. "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus says, "I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you of who I am. It's not about who you think I am, about who I am." Each one of us in this room, including yours truly, had better get in contact with this idea that I have one obligation, and that one obligation in my life is to come in contact with the Jesus, with the Christ of the Bible. And I only come into contact with the Christ of the Bible, like a brother told me yesterday, I like to get all by myself and just talk. Man, it was beautiful. The brother told me yesterday, I just like to get all by myself and talk to God all by myself about my life. And if that is the best way to get in touch with Jesus, get off somewhere completely by yourself and start talking with Jesus about you. And don't be trying to talk with Jesus with nobody else about you. And my goodness, when you do that, the Lord will talk back to you when you do that. Now, I want to show you something else. I have a Crossway scripture here, and I want to keep my page right here because I will be turning back to it from time to time. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, will you? Ezekiel chapter 34. I want to show you something here. Since Jesus is talking with those people there, what is he referring to? What had happened to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10? If you really want, man, a good segue scripture that goes with John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, you go to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10, and you know exactly what Jesus was giving reference to. Now look at this. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, now keep it in mind who Ezekiel is. Ezekiel is the voice of God. Like I am the voice of God to you here this morning as a doorkeeper. See, the doorkeeper holds the door to the gate of the sheep for the true shepherd. I'm not your true shepherd. And that's where I think the church gets it twisted. The church gets it twisted today thinking that the pastor of the church is the great shepherd. No, you twist it. A real pastor of a church is only a doorkeeper. And he's there to let the true shepherd in to minister to the sheep. That's why our doorkeeper, if a false preacher came here, I'm the one that's going to call him out. Why? Because I'm a doorkeeper. That's all the doorkeeper does. He holds the door, and so that when the real shepherd comes to minister to the sheep, he says, now, there's the word of God. Now, that other one, he's a pimp from way back. Now, let's look and see what Ezekiel says about it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Sounds like today. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And then he says, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Ooh, sounds like today. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened, meaning that you're supposed to be strengthening, you know, the Christians to get strong in the word, and you just getting stronger with your Bentleys and your mansions and your 50,000 membership website and your money pimping behind self, and the church is going to hell. And then he says, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, and the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. Tell me if that don't sound like the preachers today. Just like the preachers today. And that's why Jesus came, and he had the Apostle John, blessed be the Lord, inspired to write John chapter 10. Because in the Old Testament, just like in the New Testament, you see God revealed in it all. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Start with verse 5, Ezekiel chapter 34. And they have scattered for lack of a shepherd. See, this is why you got these female pimps in the pulpit. Because of a lack of a real shepherd. God only knows what's going to happen when fools like me die. God only knows what the church got. I feel sorry for Sean. Because he's going to get old and aged. Standing up for the truth look like he's all alone. See, I ain't thinking about the gainsayers no more. If you're a preacher, show me some preaching. Preach the word of God and bring conviction on Satan's behind himself. Don't worry about the church. They're already on their way to hell. Preach to the hellions and get the hellions saved. I was talking yesterday. Two homosexual men came by my house, and one of them got a new job, so he couldn't take his Cocker Spaniel with him. And I said, hey, man, what you doing, selling the dog? He said, no. I'm giving it away. I looked at the dog. I was talking to the man. The little cocker was nice. And I said, now that would look nice, hair blowing in the wind with my Lexus next to me with the top down and everything. Look about. And so I said, man, I think I like that dog and everything. And so the people sitting around there, because Mario came by with his brother and another brother was there. And he said, man, you didn't even flinch. Didn't you see them guys was gay? I said, man, their lifestyle don't mess with me. I'm looking at the dog. In hell, they gone. Now, when he contact me again for how we going to legislate the dog is when we may get into some talk about his lifestyle. But see, that doesn't bother me. The dog is just an opening, my friend. Just an opening. Everything is an opening. Everything. Look what else he said. Look at verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 5. They scattered for the lack of a shepherd, and they become food. Look at this. They became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. That's what the shepherd allowed to happen to Israel. The wild doctrine just came and ate them up. And then it says, my flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search and to seek for them. That's why these preachers are not concerned about the people of God today. They say, man, they can follow anything they want to, as long as they come here and bring me this here money. And then it says, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. See, God is saying, oh, I see what you are. You call yourself a shepherd? Hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God. Surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. Sounds like the church today. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Oh, I love it. That's why every Sunday morning you can go to my website, Powerful Preaching. I told him this morning, if you can't find a Bible church, go to my website and there's a fire and brimstone message for you and your family to sit around with your open Bibles and that computer, and you will hear the same kind of preaching that you hear this morning on that website for the ones that can't find a Bible church because they all them punked out. Got them all looking for prosperity while the water is filling up their homes. I'm telling you people, God is angry at this country. And it seemed like black people, what in the heck is wrong with us? Ain't hardly got no money now and making the pimp bigger every week. My God, what Sean told me, what is it? What, a $500 prayer cloth? Man, you need to stop it. And black people buying it. Ignoramuses acting like you just got off the slave ship. What's the matter with you? Jumping around in a voodoo church with a voodoo prince and princess leading your behinds straight to hell. You heard me. Straight to hell. Now look what it says right here in verse 9. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10 says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. God is saying, I'm going to shut you down. See, Pastor John can't do it. When I did that little interview with them two apostate people going to the apostate church, I had no intention of that getting on the World Wide Web all up in all that mess. Till somebody called my office, did you know that what you said is on the web? I said, I didn't put it there. I did not put that mess there. Well, Pastor John, it's up and it's all over the world. You should see thousands of hits going to it. I said, oh my God, I told Bob Klink. I said, God then elevated the words that I put up there, and I had, that's the way God does it, friends. That's the way God does it. When you God's preacher, you don't have to worry about getting notoriety. When you God's man, God's going to say, I'm going to put you up in the limelight because you're ready to die for me. And then I'm going to see if the other pimps are going to get behind you to save my people. And I'm waiting on him to try to shut me down. Look what he says, latter part of verse 10 of Ezekiel, chapter 34. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, and I shall deliver my flock from their mouth. You know what that means? The shepherds are eating up God's people, and they may not be food for them. Keep Ezekiel 34 in your mindset, because my friends, if you look at that, you can really see a display of what has happened to the church today. And I love those verses because they clearly define the essence of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, as Jesus defines to us in the church today what is going on. And that is why Anselm is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. You know what a person told me? Person told me, he said, man, when you go to church, you got to look for something exciting, man. We're looking for the show, man. We got to have a show. You got to have the music, man. You know, John, you animated and everything, but you keep saying some things that ain't right for the people's mind. No, I'm saying things that ain't right for a sinner's mind. So that is, today we require a clear definition or a clear explanation of Jesus. His objective, and the conclusion as we discover who Jesus is. But we just read about a determined, damning accusation of our Lord to the Old Testament prophets, so we must think about how he views this apostate today. If you want to know how he views it today, look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Go there with me as we segue into that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. We want to know how Jesus feels about a church that is apostate today. Yes, yes, yes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And seeing the multitudes, look what Jesus says. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. That's where most of the church is today. Most of real Christians are sheep without a doorkeeper, a shepherd. Sheep without a doorkeeper to protect them. Because most of them are into this business of being a pastor for themselves. When I have a young man trying to meet with me, screaming and saying, I need deliverance from something, and I said, you're going to a church, he says, the whole church needs to be delivered. Nah, there's where we are. Jesus was saying that if any other entry into the care and protection of the church was allowed, he was not aware of it, and those who seek to gain access into the body of Christ without that are legitimate. When he says back at John 10 and 1, truly I say to you that he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Jesus is saying, don't look to the person that claims to be guarding the church if they do not recognize the Christ of the church. Like a wild beast who sought to gain entry and entry of the sheepfold to do harm to the flock of God, Jesus was saying, I have a doorkeeper there. I have a true under-shepherd to protect you. The true under-shepherd that protects you is not going to tell you things that are going to make you feel comfortable about yourself. The true under-shepherd at times is just going to tell you some rank things about you. I had one brother on the way to church this morning tell me something that enlightened my eyes. Sean got up here and was doing the devotional this morning, repeated at the latter part of his devotional word for word the same words that the other brother told me. I said, Lord God, you've given me confirmation by two witnesses. It was as if God was speaking through both of them about a very, and you know what it was? I shared with the first brother. I said I had some tension as I was going through that because of this aspect. This brother spoke about the relationship with Jesus Christ and how you practice your life. And Sean spoke about the same thing. That's the validation. You know who you are by your track record of how you live. You know who you are, whether you can really turn your back on Jesus of the Bible at any time and do that with a smile on your face. And I don't think that a true believer can do that. Let's look at verse 2 now. It says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In other words, he who comes in by the door of the sheep of which he leads. You see, he who, you have to understand, Jesus is using this illustration. You know, and when you see this term shepherd,